Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Tuesday morning to you all as we begin a brand new week in WWE as we are under 2 weeks away until SummerSlam going down live on Saturday, August 2nd, live from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for The Wrap, really improving, Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on The Wrap, as always, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited about the conversation we're going to have. It's been a decent week of WWE, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the show brings this week.
Yes. It was very busy this week, very busy next week as we are on that road to SummerSlam. A pretty good card. I think one brand is a bit more over than the other right now in terms of storytelling and build up to their matches versus another show, which we'll get to momentarily. But I would be remiss if I don't mention something that I noticed today on WWE social media via WWEshop.com. Something I predicted on this very show a few weeks ago, that CM Punk's dog, Larry, would land on a t-shirt, and lo and behold, Larry is on a t-shirt, Scott. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so.
Yeah, you and your Miss Cleo for right now. We're going to see how long until the gig's up, you know, until the gig runs this course. But yeah, you on one right now. So you predicting the future, people calling you up right now. You in the middle of your bread right now. I got to give you your props.
Listen, I'm not that great if I can't get Powerball numbers. So until I get the lottery handled, this is just a lucky guess by me for right now. You know, I need like Powerball. Hey,
you're right. Until you hit for the bread, like you go hit play for slots, or like you say, go run the numbers. Yeah. Yeah. Until then, that's when you really in the bread for real. You really start predicting stuff. Then we might need to see if you got some psychedelic powers. You know what I'm saying? Seeing what type of stuff you want.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, I am clean, okay? I am perfectly fine. I am not on any of that stuff. I am shroom-free. So if I can...
Shroom-free?
Yes, shroom-free. I am not on any psychedelics. I'm not on any acids. I'm perfectly fine. So all I need to do is like hit the lottery, Powerball, Mega Millions, you know, Fantasy Five, something. If I can hit five figures and above, then I'm really cooking.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yes. So... thank you very much for paying the compliment to me. Good for Larry for grabbing a bag. Good for you, son.
Shout out to the animals getting bags over in WWE.
Pharaoh, Larry, who's next? I know there are some dogs that I see on social media, and I know they can get some coin too. So petition yourselves, dogs, and get you some money. I know Natty's cats can get some dough too. I mean, she's got what, 10 of them?
I only know about the two. The only animals I know about is the two puppies, but I don't know about the cats.
Okay. You know what? The levels of you trying it right now.
She ain't wrestling right now, so I'm just saying, like,
you know,
her and her sister doing her OnlyFans.
Listen, I try to bring some class and decorum to this show, and Scott manages to lower the bar by dropping puppies.
And we are not talking about Sheamus and Cesaro doing the limbo.
No, we're not. My God, we're not. But let's switch lanes very quickly as we talk about something that has been rumored to be true and probable in WWE regarding the contract status for one Bobby Lashley and MVP. Word on the street is that they have been removed eternally from the WWE main roster, and their contracts will not be up for renewal when they run out in due time. And the word on the street is that most likely MVP and Bobby Lashley are going to try to reconstitute the Hurt Business with Shelton Benjamin, possibly in AEW. But Scott, your thoughts on Bobby Lashley potentially being out in WWE after a pretty good second run in the company dating back to 2017?
Real disappointing. And not disappointing in that, you know, it's like, you know, he did anything wrong. It's just, it sucks to see him go. Lashley was a great star that they had, that they really just, Triple H really underutilized during his time there. Completely sat out of WrestleMania, just showed up holding the Andre trophy, and really didn't get as much as he could have, especially in that title picture. The Bloodline versus the Hurt Business is always going to be one of the biggest what ifs, at least in the modern era. I think those are two of the greatest groups that we've seen in a while. And the fact that we never got Lashley and Roman having that face off, the closest thing we got was the triple threat with Bobby Lashley on Monday Night Raw. And that was a great match as it is. So I just think that there is something there that we missed out on. But, you know, and I kind of don't want to see him in AEW because I don't see them treating him like the big deal that he should be treated as. I'd love to see him just go on a tear. Obviously, we're probably not going to see him MVP in TNA the way he's talking. Especially the things that he is saying about Triple H, true or not, you talking like that, we're probably not going to see you with the partnership they got going on. So I could see him in AEW. You know, I did see something interesting that Ricochet was the original fourth member that they wanted. So, you know, you could do a MVP, Shelton Benjamin, Bobby Lashley, Ricochet, Hurt Business in AEW. I just don't know how serious they would treat him, just looking at how they treat STP.
Yeah, that is a concern as well. And the Bobby Lashley run on the Triple H hasn't been the greatest. I know there's been some injuries there for Bobby in the last year or so, but I think one of the big missteps was trying to portray Bobby Lashley and by extension the Street Profits as heels when they are natural baby faces and the fans want to cheer Bobby Lashley and they reverted them back to being baby faces a few months ago, but they really never got behind the faction in a meaningful way. And I just wonder, why is that when I see another faction on Monday Night Raw in the Final Testament get chance after chance after chance to get over when they can't get over? They can't get any real heat here, but you have potential with Lashley and the Street Profits to be something, and it was completely dropped. And Vince made the call to end the Hurt Business a few years ago, and Triple H could have easily brought the band back together, and he opted not to do that for reasons that really defy logic to me, because one of the money matches you had at your disposal was Bobby Lashley versus Roman Reigns. They never had that one-on-one match that people were dying to see. As you mentioned, we had the triple threat with Big E, Roman Reigns, and Bobby Lashley, which was a lot of fun. We had interactions with the New Day, the Bloodline, and the Hurt Business as well over the last couple of years. But in terms of them actually pulling the trigger on a true-blown Bloodline Hurt Business feud, they never did it. And I just don't understand why, because money was definitely left on the table and they can't get it back.
Well, I could tell you why. It's because, you know, we're in a time where nobody wants to take the law, or nobody wants to take the loss. And, you know, at least that's what it seems like to me. It's like, you don't want Lashley to lose to Roman. And I think the match would have more than made it. I think you could have got a couple matches, the promos in and of itself, the tag team matches you could have got out of it. Just a lot of missed opportunity, but we'll see what he does. I wish him nothing but the best. I've been a fan of Lashley since his debut, since he was shoving burgers down Simon Dean's throat during his debut and beating William Regal and Paul Burchill in handicap matches. So I've enjoyed Lashley for a long time, almost 20 years. So I appreciate everything he's brought to the table, and I'll follow him wherever he goes.
Me too. I have a great deal of respect for Bobby. He was great during his initial run in WWE, had a tear in TNA before coming back to WWE, having a great back end of that career by delivering great matches and being WWE champion and being over, or being the champion, winning at WrestleMania, but then getting benched at a WrestleMania the year before was definitely a choice by WWE, puts him in the dray, and he wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but it really doesn't mean anything at the end of the day. And after that, he has just been misused and underutilized. So hopefully he finds a landing spot. I think it will probably be AEW, but I do have the same concerns as you as to whether or not they can really present this vision that MVP and Bobby Lashley has, because that is going to be the sticking point for me. You have to deliver something that they want, that they have a vision for, and you have the platform to do it and kind of stick it to Hunter and say, hey, I gave them this platform to take off part two of the Hurt Business, and it works. If they fail to do that, then it's a lot of talk, and I'm gonna be looking at AEW creatively, and I'll be looking at Bobby and MVP too, because you're talking a lot, and I need you to back it up via whether or not this faction can be rebuilt and presented somewhere else and it gets over.
Yep. Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Good luck to everyone involved, and Bobby Lashley, hopefully you come back around one day, but definitely a miss by Triple H. And there's been a few misses by him in terms of him missing talent that falls through the cracks on the main roster. But now let's get to some NXT Fast Track recap talk from this past Tuesday as we're getting ready for the Great American Bash in a couple of weeks on Sci-Fi. And, you know, only one thing stood out to me on NXT this past Tuesday, and it was the main event of Obafemi versus Duke Hudson for the NXT North America Championship. And Obafemi, this guy who we was introduced to around this time last year, has continued to show out against a plethora of opponents of all shapes and sizes. And Duke Hudson has been around the block for a very long time. These guys had a really good main event, a big hoss battle. It went back and forth. The crowd was into it. And Obafemi is going to be that next guy up. He's going to be a legit monster out there that can go at a high level, and he's getting better and better, and he doesn't feel like he's learning in the ring, and it's like, oh, he's thinking about the spots, he's just doing it, which is very cool to see. And the more he gets comfortable, the more he's going to get better. But the fast track of this guy is incredible. But Duke Hudson was obviously there with him the entire way in a losing effort.
Yeah, he's come a long way since his debut loss to Dante Chen. And now he's one of the most dominant and intimidating figures they have. To see the improvement, I think he's only been main roster, you know, NXT main roster wrestling for 2 years now, I think is incredible. He is he's just a natural. And certain guys just have it. He's got it. I think they're doing a good job of not sending him too fast, not putting that rocket on him just yet. You know, they're giving him a little bit of a jet pack, but it's not a rocket pack. You know, they're not sending him to space yet. They're just letting him float over some water, you know, them little water packs. And that's what you got to do, getting him ready to head into space. And, cause I think he's got a dominant title run at the top before he goes anywhere. And yeah, I what they've done with him is great. And I think the progress has been fantastic.
Yeah, so I think that he's going to be like the Wesley being one of the greatest North America champions of all time. When it's all said and done, the dominance speaks for itself. And I do love the jetpack analogy of like, you're just floating above the water and you're like, you're in the air, but you're not skyrocketing just yet to the tippy top of NXT or even the main roster for WWE. It's going to come in time for him. But to have this level of great matches already, triple threats, one-on-ones, and none of them have missed. We do have hiccups here and there, but he's still learning. But for the most part, the body of his matches are really impressive, and that speaks to him being able to work with just about anybody and not get lost.
Yeah, and for me, I think the best matches for me have been the Big Hoss matches. I think those have been the ones where he's really been at his best. You know, the cat and mouse games that he has with the little guys, not the little guys, but the smaller wrestlers, they're good, but there's something special about him in a Hoss battle. He seems to bring it out of him, and seeing guys try to lift him, seeing him lift big guys to anybody else but seem small to him, like he is what they want Omos to be. And I'm a big fan of Omos, but he is what they want Omos to be. Like, if he was in Omos's spot, especially with the level of progression that he's shown, man, where is Omos? We got a better version of him. I mean, like, and again, this is me, a guy who really enjoyed what Omos was like. I think his last three matches were all real good. The Seth Rollins match, the Brock Lesnar match, all real good. So they got what they wanted in Omos right here. He is the new Omos.
That can move and is a better worker. That's just the facts of the situation. And speaking of Omos, unfortunately for Omos, his manager is gone now. So where does that leave him? Now we know he only appears for Battle Royals and Warrior Rumbles. So it's like he's an attraction, but without MVP, like, where do we go from here?
That's a good question. Especially since, you know, there's not a lot of managers. There's not a lot of people who are looking for clients. That's a good question. Like, what group does he go to? What heel does he go to? Me personally, I think there is a young heel on SmackDown who could use a guy like that. And I think you could go two ways with it. Actually, there's two. I think you could go. Grayson Waller is getting ready to get rid of Austin Theory, and I think he could use a nice heavy behind him, so that way he can talk all the cash he wants, knowing he's got big Omos behind him. And if you don't want to do Grayson Waller, one guy that we know works well with a heavy is Carmelo Hayes. And I think Carmelo Hayes bringing in Omos, either one of those two guys, I think Omos is still useful. Him at that size and him just being a solid worker, you can still get a lot out of him being one of those young and up and coming guys heavy.
I like that idea, and we shall see how it goes with the future of Omos in WWE. Hopefully there's a spot for him and he can be able to be an asset. I do like the idea of him possibly working with Grayson Waller, a great talker, and Carmelo Hayes, a great talker and great worker as well. We'll see which direction WWE chooses to go in, but I would be remiss if I don't mention one more item from NXT before we jump to SmackDown. And that was the opening match, which was the Rascals, Trey Miguel, Zachary Wentz, and Wesley versus Gallus. And I thought this was a great opener, nonstop action. Everybody was just on point. Gallus was there to do what they needed to do, which was to lose and highlight how fun the Rascals are, and gave the NXT crowd something to really be excited about. Booker T was a lot on commentary, but most importantly, the team got the W, and I love this crew, and I want to see them back on NXT together. And they did some work at Slammiversary this past Saturday against the No Quarter Catch crew in a winning effort there. So all in all, good week for the Rascals on NXT and TNA.
Wow. And the most impressive part about this entire thing is you didn't even take a backhanded shot at Gallus. Impressive all around. So yeah, this is really good. The triple drop kick, never seen that before. So that was cool. But yeah, I like the fact that they let Trey Miguel go first, since he's never been in a WWE, or at least I don't remember him being in a WWE ring. So that was cool. really cool moment. You could tell it meant a lot to him, especially after the match when they got the win. So looking forward to seeing more of the TNA crossover. I think I've enjoyed everything they've done so far with it. My kids, I let them stay up because Joe Hendry has all of a sudden become one of their favorite people. They keep telling me, when is Joe Hendry going to be on TV? They've gone from John Cena to Joe Hendry. So every time I say his name, they hope he appears. But can't bring him around all the time because every time I try to do the smile, they say, yeah, Dad, you're not Joe. Okay? Leave the Hendry to Joe. Okay? But yeah, I thought everything was great. As far as the main event, too, that was really good.
So do you do the turn?
Absolutely.
With your kids? You do the smile?
Absolutely. The full-on grin all up in their face.
And you do like the proud walk after you smile and do your pose. It's like, nah, the Joe Hendry walk is laughing. Like, you know, come on.
I can't get that far without laughing.
Just got the salt,
I'll do the turn and I'm sitting there smiling all cheesing and my kids will be like, what? Dad,
you're embarrassing us.
Yeah, I can't hold it after that. I can't wait to show up to a school in like 10 years and just blare that on the radio.
Oh my God. In 10 years, it's still going to be a thing. You're going to do the clap too when you turn around. You have to do that as well.
I'll be sitting on top of the car.
Oh my gosh. I need footage of this in 10 years' time when you play I Believe in Joe Hendry, a legendary bop. It's catchy. It's in my head too. It cannot stop. It is catchy. It's contagious. Damn him for that, but it's a gift. The NXT is utilizing very well for themselves right now as we transition to SmackDown. It was a double taping going down live to tape in Omaha, Nebraska, as the crew heads to Japan for some live events this weekend. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite matches from the week that was in WWE, and that was Carmelo Hayes versus Andrade. And we've talked on the show recently about Andrade and how not over he's been since returning to WWE. It could be a combination of the music and the aura not being there. But I will say that being a part of Money in the Bank a few weeks ago has definitely added some cachet with Andrade. And this match with Carmelo Hayes was great. These guys have really good chemistry. Things was clean and fluid. I really enjoyed it. And most importantly, the fans cared about Andrade. They gave Melo the proper heat as well. It was great action throughout and Andrade won. But most importantly, Andrade got a favorable reaction to remind people how good he is. So hopefully this is the beginning of a sustained push. He just needs a compelling storyline to really get him over the top in the mid-card scene on SmackDown.
Yeah, I like the entrance too. I like the little bit of the different entrance, and I'm just gonna keep it a buck. He's a great worker. That's what he's gonna bring to the table. He's essentially gonna fill the Ricochet role on SmackDown. He's gonna be what Ricochet was on Raw to be on SmackDown. He's just gonna be a great wrestler. And until they decide to align him with Charlotte, he won't be getting elevated to the main event scene.
That's why I said mid-card for right now. I'm realistic in my expectations. Being real.
He ain't going nowhere.
No, he's not going to the tippy top. But mid-card, that's a good slot for him. Competing possibly for the championship at some point. I would like to see it. That would be pleasant and refreshing. We'll get there eventually. The U.S. championship to be exact. But good match. Really enjoyed it. Hopefully Melo finds his footing on SmackDown as well. You know, still trying to get it together as a complete character because it is a little transitional period between what you did on NXT versus what you're doing here. It's a bigger stage and still trying to get his feet wet, but I think he'll get there in time.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, he's like you said, he's fine. Everything will work out like it. But I do think he is missing something. And I think he's been missing something since him and Trick split up. Like, when he's not feuding with Trick, you can tell there's just something not there. And that's why he was one of the guys I mentioned with Grayson. Like, I just think that he's missing something. And it's not a lot. It's nothing big. But I think a heavy would just do wonders for him because he's so good. And when you're that good and you have a heavy, it's like, why do you have him? Like, I thought Omos worked really well with AJ Styles. And I think Carmelo Hayes brings a lot more swag than AJ. And I think him and Omos would play well. Like, a heavy is what I think he's missing. And I think you give him that, and I think everything will just start kind of clicking again.
Agreed. Hopefully that happens for him soon. Kind of like the Diesel Shawn Michaels situation back in the day. He needs a Diesel, and Omos could be that for him in some way. And I hope that happens because Omos needs something to do. I don't want him brush off for Battle Royals and Warrior Rumbles. Let him do something because he's at home basically right now collecting a check, doing nothing for 363 days out of the year.
I mean, I'm sure he ain't mad. This man is out here smelling cologne and stuff. So, you know, hey, that dude, like, look, you gonna pay me? I'm gonna just start buying cologne and start a YouTube channel. So shout out to you, Omos.
Listen, become a content creator and get you some coin. I don't blame you whatsoever. Do your thing, Omos. Smell that cologne, okay? Get a bread. Get some checks out of that. All right, as we get to our next segment, which was an in-ring confrontation between the United States champion Logan Paul and LA Knight as they make their championship match official at SummerSlam next Saturday in Cleveland, Ohio, which is Logan Paul's hometown and his home state of Ohio. And this promo, I'm going to be very honest, because normally LA Knight is very good on the microphone. And there was an NXT a few years ago when he dropped the LA Knight shtick and spoke as himself and cut a really strong promo when he and Cameron Grimes are feuding over the $1 million championship belt. Logan Paul, who is detestable in many ways, is a great heel in WWE. You let this man come in your house, let this man come in your ring, and I thought he absolutely outclassed LA Knight on the microphone. He burned him up real good, even dropped the government name mid promo. And I was like, there is no answer that LA Knight has right now because he's getting cooked. And that speaks of Logan Paul being a natural douchebag on the microphone. And it ends with LA Knight trying to take out Logan Paul. Does not work heading into their championship match at SummerSlam. But I thought it was a good segment. But Logan Paul ethered that man on live TV. And I want LA Knight to dig deep besides a persona and really cut a promo from the heart to express why you got to beat this guy that's coming into your ring and your house and say why you need to be the United States champion come SummerSlam.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to get that. Logan Paul, I mean, you're not, Logan Paul can talk, man. Like Logan Paul does this wrestling thing, like all aspects of it. He's really good at all aspects, and LA Knight's one of the best in the game, but man, Logan, and let's keep it a buck. Logan Paul can be a real scumbag if he wants to. So like he got everything you want to be in the makings of a great heel. So it doesn't surprise me that he's eating him up on the mic. And honestly, I hope he destroys him again, because when he does beat him, it's just going to be amazing. It's going to make that moment better. Yes, he needs to cut that promo where it's like, yo, you need to fire the crowd up. And I think we'll get that. I know there was a backstage promo that he cut as well. But yeah, I agree with you to an extent. I just think that just shows how good, and you mentioned it, but how good Logan Paul is. Like, Logan Paul does this. Like, he's very good at what he does. And I think he understands and knows what the role is right now. And I think LA Knight's going to get a huge victory at SummerSlam.
I totally agree. And I'm not opposed to him getting knocked down on the microphone one more time, only for LA Knight to rise back up from it, because he needs that like knockout blow to get back up and say, hey, this is who I am. Let me take these shades off. Let me ditch this vest. I am who I am, and just cut it from there. But Logan Paul is a natural at this professional wrestling thing. We've said that for the last couple of years, and he displayed that once again via this segment against one of the better talkers in WWE. And for one night and maybe more, he absolutely outshined him.
You know, people question him wrestling. They put him with the best wrestler. Keeps up with him. Seth Rollins, Ricochet, High Flying, Matt, whatever you want. Main event style, Roman Reigns. Whatever you want to do, you put him with him. Even you put him with a guy who people say can't wrestle at all, like The Miz. And he goes out and has a great match. Like, and then you talk about the mic. Let's not forget he was going back and forth with Roman too. And Roman would just be eating people up on the mic. So Logan Paul is a top guy. And honestly, I want Logan Paul to challenge again here in the States for that WWE title. Like I maybe not beating Cody, but I'm not opposed to him winning the title, man. Like I would love to see it. Don't have to be a long reign, but I wouldn't mind seeing a nice little quick Logan Paul title run.
You want this, and you've been mentioning it more than once, and I'm not opposed to it either. I think he'll be very entertaining as champion, be a complete asshole that would get on your nerves every single time he's out there, which is a good thing. You want a heat generator, and he does that. It's not go away heat. It's like legit, we can't stand you, but go on. And that is a sign of respect from the crowd that knows this guy does have a genuine affection for what he does. He's committed to it. He goes in, he does the work, and he always leaves the ring better where he left it, better than he found it. So I'm looking forward to this match. It should be good. And I expect LA Knight to get the W and finally become a major champion in WWE for the first time.
Let's hope. You know, Triple H likes to play the long game, so you might have him lose and wait until WrestleMania. So let's see what happens.
Listen, Paul, listen. Everything ain't got to be an epic, okay? Let this man win at SummerSlam and call it a day, okay? Can we do that?
All right, we'll see. But in other news, listen, I will say this about the whole LA Knight thing. You know, LA Knight's been on a long trajectory, and I heard Michael Cole say biggest match of his career. We don't have to lie. Like, the match with Roman was still his biggest match of his career. This is probably the second biggest match of his career. I think the crowd reaction is going to be very telling. I think he'll get a great reaction coming out, but how's it going to go when Logan Paul starts doing springboards and does a frog splash from the ring to the announce table? You know, they let Logan Paul get away with a bunch of stuff. So I think the entire thing would be very interesting. The other thing I find interesting about this is Logan Paul has had three title defenses, and it just doesn't make sense that he would be able to. So all right, so real quick, I'm freestyling right now, but couple random thoughts while I got the mic. Hila will be back here in a second. A couple random thoughts. Real quick. Do you guys think that the Seth Rollins, I'm jumping ahead, just coming off the top. Do you think that the Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, and Drew McIntyre, that whole singles match turned into a special guest referee? I want to put this out for the chat, for the Discord, for anyone listening in the disc when you can hear this for the Discord. Do you guys think that should have been a triple threat? And I'll pose this again when Keela comes back, but do y'all think that should have been a triple threat instead of the special guest referee? Because that's kind of where I'm leaning. Big fan of number one contenders matches. I think you could have had one on the card, but that's just me, nitpicking. I think the match is going to be fantastic. I think we're going to get something special out of it. We've been waiting on it for a while. Hopefully we get more than one match out of CM Punk before he decides to hurt himself again. Obviously he didn't hurt himself, but you know what I mean? Next up we had Chelsea Gray or Chelsea Green versus Bianca Belair. I saw a lot of people giving some flack for this match for only getting a minute of time, and it's fine. Everything doesn't have to be a 5 to 10 minute clinic. I thought they accomplished what they needed to. The roll up was a choice. You could have just ended it with the finisher, but you want to protect Chelsea a little bit. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And then we had the Nia Jax and Bayley. They had their little sit down, and we essentially had Bayley call her reckless, which again is a choice. You could have just said, I'm not the same person that I was. Like when I've been through this last year of having my best friends turn on me, you're nothing compared to what I just went through. I just feel like there's a much better way to go about what they were doing instead of trying to talk about Nia as this reckless beast, when her being reckless, if anything, is a good thing. So what if she hurts you? That should be her goal. That should be her whole purpose, is to hurt you, to win the match by any means necessary. If that means to throw your knee against a ring post and then you can't continue, then she's going to throw your ring. I mean, that's in the essentially goal of the match, is to take your opponent out to where they can't respond to a three count or they give up. So her being quote unquote reckless, that's great. That's great. I don't understand why she got upset. I want to be, let me be reckless, because I'm going to win that title being reckless. And I'm going to send you, you won't be coming back for it. So I just don't like that argument. I think Bayley should have just said, I've had a rough year, after everything I've gone through, having people stab me in the back, you trying to hit me, and I can carry you on my back too. So there's just other ways this could have went about.
I am back. Thank you for pitching in. As my battery completely died, I blame Logan Paul. I was too nice to him during my compliments.
Either that or Rey Mysterio just doesn't like Logan Paul and was like, yeah, we're not going to be doing all that.
His revenge tour on me. So I am back, guys. I apologize for dipping out mid-sentence, but I'm back. Computer's charging up as we speak right now, and I do want to comment on what Scott was talking about regarding the split screen interview with Nia Jax and Bayley as they get ready for their women's championship match at SummerSlam in a couple of weeks. I mostly agree with Scott, but I do take a little bit of an issue because Nia Jax in a former life was in fact reckless, and she did in fact cause legit injuries. And I gave her a side eye for a very long time, because I remember the exact night when she separated Bayley's shoulder. That was reckless of her. She's knocked people out, and yes, she knocked Becky into superstardom. She sure did. But the record speaks for itself. She was reckless out there for a time, and thankfully, she's gotten better during her second run in WWE. Would I put it in a promo? Not necessarily, but do I accept the shot and understand it? 100%. I'm petty that way.
Yeah, but in the sense of in pure kayfabe sense, when you're talking about winning a match, especially as a bad guy, and Bayley has been a bad guy for a long time, for her to say you're reckless, like, I just, it comes off as like, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a little too insidey for me. I get what you're saying. You're not wrong, because she's definitely been on a much, I think she's been much better this run as well. But I just feel like being, because that they would say that on commentary about Brock. You know what I'm saying? When he was wrestling, they would say, oh, he's reckless out there when he would start just tossing people. So I just don't, you can't have it both ways. And I don't know if that's the insult that they think it is. Because to me, a monster being reckless, because I'm pretty sure they used that with Fatu when he was just running roughshod. Look at this guy just running reckless everywhere. Like, I don't know. And maybe that's just me nitpicking too.
Well, I think with the case of being reckless is that when you talk about Brock Lesnar and Jacob Fatu, they're not legit hurting opponents. With Nia Jax, there is a track record of her legitimately hurting people, like the separated shoulder that Bayley mentioned when she was taken out of SummerSlam several years ago. So I think that is the core issue, bringing that very real life element that was a knock on Nia Jax years ago into this storyline. Now, do I agree with it? Not necessarily, but I understand the shot, because a lot of people have been saying that over the years. Now, Nia Jax has made an effort to be safer this time around, and I have zero complaints about it. But there is a record there that is clear-cut empirical evidence of her being reckless in a real-life sense, not kayfabe. That is what Bayley was talking about. She was trying to bring some realism there. Was it the best way to go about it? That is up to whoever decided to put that in the script, but that is where they went with it. But I do like the fact that Nia Jax, when Bayley mentioned that, you saw the hurt in her eyes when that tenor changed. Like, this got real personal, real fast. Like, the Queen Nia gimmick shedded away, and you saw like a legit flare of emotions in her eyes, because that was a rep that she had for a while. We saw live shooting in the ring with Charlotte and Nia Jax a few years ago. So there is a track record of this, and that was why it was mentioned. It's not in kayfabe of like she's reckless and she's, you know, destroying people. There is a track record of legit injuries happening, and that is why that was mentioned. Do I agree? Not necessarily, but I'm petty and I'm all about messiness sometimes. I get it, but I also get your point as well.
Okay.
All right, because you know I'm always Team Bayley, but I expect this match to be good at SummerSlam, and we'll see how it goes. And maybe they would revisit the shoulder injury in that match, which would be clever of them if they're fully going in that direction. But I do want to say rest in peace to Tiffany Stratton's briefcase, as it was destroyed in her match against Meechin, as Nia Jax was out there trying to help her girl out, and Bayley came out there to run interference, and she proceeded to smash the briefcase to bits. And yes, there is an actual contract in the briefcase, confirmation with the pen to sign your name. That's not necessary when you cash in, obviously. But hey, a contract is legit in the briefcase. We now know that. And we also know that Tiffany is most likely getting a bedazzled Barbie pink briefcase in the weeks to come to supplement this briefcase going up yonder.
Yeah, good excuse to get her own, like you said, bedazzled little briefcase. Hopefully it doesn't also bring daddy back. Hopefully it's not a gift from daddy.
Oh God.
This will be just another reason for her to gloat. And hopefully when she gets a new briefcase, she can start a new winning streak.
I would love that, because you know that is the doom of death for a lot of Money in the Bank briefcase winners. They go on this losing streak and then they proceed to cash in on a win, but that did not happen for with Damian Priest, thank goodness, and his run to be champion last year. And here we go with Tiffany Stratton. Hopefully this is corrected after one loss. We'll see about that, but rest in peace, white briefcase. You had a good run for a good 2 weeks. As we now get to the main event of Friday Night SmackDown, Cody needed a tag team partner to fend off Austin Theory and Grayson Waller, and he found that partner in the one and only Kevin Owens, back after taking care of his mom, who kicked out. Thank God for that. Came out there to a great reception. Tag team match was just there as it was a way to facilitate the bloodline interfering, and Jacob Fatu once again went on a tear, as well as the rest of the bloodline going in on the attack and solo delivering orders to super power bomb Kevin through the announce table, as once again Cody cannot find friends to fend off the bloodline. All of this heavy-handedness is telling me that, yeah, Cody is definitely retaining at SummerSlam as Roman's return is imminent.
Let's hope so, at least. You know, it's I saw a little backlash online talking about the same ending when it's clearly setting up everyone to return. I think, you know, we'll get KO returning. We'll get Randy Orton returning, all to even the odds. And then, because I think the big return, like you said, is going to be Roman Reigns. And that's where the place is just going to be like, holy hell. So everything is going, building the way it's supposed to. The babyface is supposed to get beat down. You know, he's supposed to be fighting from underneath. We talked about, you know, people talked about Solo not being established. Well, they've been establishing that group for the last few weeks, and they've done a good job of it. So I don't have a problem with this. Like you said, the tag match was just there, just a way to get Fatu to come out and destroy everything, and then just a way for Solo to stand tall at the end of SmackDown.
Yes, and get the lay on him once again by Jacob Fatu, who does the wise man pose. Very interesting regarding the motivation behind that. But yeah, it's a way to add heat to this match of SummerSlam. Will it be good? I don't know. We'll see. It's in the main event spot, and I think we're going to get kind of like the WrestleMania run it back that we got, with a lot of interference from the babyfaces getting their pound of flesh, which will culminate with Roman Reigns coming out with Paul Heyman and maybe even Jimmy Uso, because he was excommunicated from the bloodline as well. So we'll see how it goes in the next couple of weeks. But overall, solid SmackDown as the build towards SummerSlam continues. The feuds going into this PLE for SmackDown is a little coldish for me versus Monday Night Raw, but I think they're bringing home when it counts most.
Well, they still have the most important feud going on. Cody Rhodes is still the biggest guy going, so long as they have that, they'll still have a leg up. Bayley and Nia, I think they've got good heat. They're not as big as Rhea and Liv, but I think that's like that's still going to be a good one. And I don't know. Feud wise, yes, but they got a lot more. They got the star power over there. Cody, yeah, and Logan Paul themselves are just two huge stars.
Yeah, star power for Monday Night Raw. No, I take that back. Star power for SmackDown and storytelling for Monday Night Raw. I think it is a good balance, and we'll see how those two things mesh heading into SummerSlam in a couple of weeks as we do get to the flagship show, Monday Night Raw, going down live from Green Bay, Wisconsin, Title Town, USA, Cheesehead Country, as we're getting ready for SummerSlam. And we kick things off with the King of the Ring, the Ring General, Gunther. And, you know, he cut a very spicy, arrogant, pompous, and at times controversial promo last week about Damian Priest basically being poor and being from the streets. And Gunther, who was getting great heel heat before he even said two sentences, said, you know, maybe I was out of line last week. Maybe I took things too far with Damian Priest. Actually, I take back absolutely nothing. He's poor. You people are poor. I'm better than you. And all of Judgment Day is nothing more than street trash. So please, Damian Priest, come out here and just give your championship to me so I can release you from this burden, because you're trash. So Damian Priest marches down to the ring, and he and Gunther get into it immediately. And we have referees and security guards trying to stop them from fighting. It's a great brawl as we go to commercial break. We come back and there's more brawling backstage as this feud has really heated up in the last couple of weeks. I was kind of down on this match originally, but the mic work by Gunther especially has heated things up in a good way. And Damian Priest, it might be closing time for him as champion, but he has definitely come into his own as champion, and he's starting to get over. And I would be remiss if I don't mention the introduction of Monday Night Raw. The first thing we saw was Judgment Day, and we had Finn, Dirty Dom, and JD at the front. We had Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest behind them, and we had the outside of Carlita trailing behind them. So we got some really good storytelling going on, and a lot is going down at SummerSlam. Let's just say that for sure regarding Judgment Day and where they stand by the end of the night.
This promo from Gunther really made me think that Damian Priest might mess around and win that match. Just the way he's talking down to him, saying, you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that. And, you know, it'd be kind of wild if they say you're not all this, and then he loses the match and he proves him right that you're not all that. You know, you're everything, you prove the heel right. So, well, I guess Damian's a heel too. So, but I, man, Damian kind of needs this win, you know, another win like that to establish himself. And then maybe you go to the Bash and then we see what happens there. But I thought the promo was great. I think Gunther looked fantastic coming out opening Raw. All he needs is a title on his shoulder. He almost looks weird not holding the belt. And I think once he gets this one, it'll be he'll look whole again. But I wouldn't be surprised if somehow Damian wins the match. I don't know who interferes or who costs Gunther the match, but I wouldn't be surprised if Damian somehow squeaks it out.
The more that you talk about it, the more that I think it's a very good possibility, because when a guy talks that kind of crap about you, you have to kind of prove him wrong to say, oh, you calling me trash? I'm nothing. I don't bring honor and prestige to this championship. I'm going to prove you wrong by beating you. And that is a very good possibility. We do have Bash in Berlin at the end of August. And if they're not going to coronate Gunther in Cleveland, do you do it in Berlin? A very good possibility if you want to save it for a month, because I'm looking at Paul Levesque like, okay, do you want to tell the story now? Do you want to tell it 3 weeks later? That's completely up to you. And I wouldn't be opposed about that possibility, because we do have Damian Priest doing a live show chronicling his WWE 24 documentary that will probably hit everybody in the feels. Then you got this match the next day in Cleveland. If you want to just squeak out three more good weeks of this run, then you have him win. And then you have Gunther get that coronation in Berlin, and you have him be the Ring General, the official world heavyweight champion in his home country. And that's how you do it. I hope that he lean in that direction. We'll see. But if they do it at SummerSlam, I'm not going to be mad, but I think that it might be better to hold off on it just a little while longer, just so Priest can prove him wrong when it counts most.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what. If they do that, Drew McIntyre is going to be pissed. That dude's going to be like, right, hold up. Wait a minute. Y'all done sent me home twice. Close enough.
Not close enough. Close you enough. Sent me to Wales.
I'm close enough. Okay, I've been over there twice, two title matches, and I haven't won a single one. But y'all go send this man on his first try, and he gonna get love? Nah, we need to renegotiate my contract.
After we just re-upped, like, let me tell you something.
We need to renegotiate.
Yes. If we're doing like a third Clash of the Castle somewhere in Europe, I better win. Okay. Like, I have gone 0-2 in the main event. You had me singing Sweet Caroline and the camera was still rolling the first time. The second time, it just ended unceremoniously. So don't try me. But it would be funny that if the hometown hero gets the coronation in his homeland and Drew McIntyre says, y'all couldn't do that for me. Really? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
It's a good thing we signed him, because I'm going to tell you what, if Gunther would have won before he signed, he'd probably be in AEW in about 3 months.
For sure. And they'll find a way. Like Tony Conway have All in Scotland. You're going to win somewhere. I can assure you of that. He's gonna make a way for you if that came to pass. But hopefully Drew McIntyre will win a championship in his homeland someday. But Gunther's going to beat him to it, I'm afraid.
At the least, Gunther will be champion in his homeland, whether it's before he walking in or he's walking out. So, sorry, yeah. Drew.
Sorry, dude. It's going to happen one way or the other. Our apologies to you. As we get to my favorite match of the night outside of the main event, which was Bron Breakker versus Ilya Dragunov in a number one contender match for the Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn at SummerSlam next Saturday in Cleveland. I thought this was a really strong match. It was a physical battle. It felt like a legit fight. They were chopping. They were slugging each other. And Bron Breakker and Ilya have great chemistry. And this was their best TV match on Monday Night Raw to date. They had the time to cook, and it was really good. Some sick bumps by both men, Dragunov especially taking bumps on the ring apron, on the outside, on the ring post, gut first. The gut buster by Breakker made it worse. The Frankensteiner, which is the new move in lieu of the Frankensteiner by Pat McAfee, which I kind of dig. So he went for that for a near fall. And we had Dragunov go for the H-bomb, goes for a Death Valley driver to break her on the hardest part of the ring. You guessed it, the ring apron. But then Braun responds with a spear that knocks Dragunov out. He's unable to continue, and Breaker wins. And he will move on to face Sami Zayn in a rematch for the Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam. This will be the night Breaker will win. And I think they're also setting up Dragunov Breaker Bash at Berlin for the championship.
Ooh. So I love what they're doing with Braun. I think Dragunov is miscast. And I know it's like, what are you talking about? He's such a great babyface. When Dragunov was starting to get over, when he first started in NXT UK, he was a heel. And I know they had this man as Brother Blood, and he was, you know, doing vampires and doing all that.
Pause. Time out. Pause. Brother Blood.
Yeah.
With his red eye contacts, which I hate, by the way.
He ain't know what to do. I remember the very first time I saw him, when I saw it was a UK special. It was him versus Finn Balor, and I saw him at Wrestle, and I was like, first of all, dude,
I could not take him seriously. Yeah. That was my first time seeing him too. Like, a dude, are you serious? But I grew to love him.
Man, look like he just hot boxed the car for 2 hours. And then he came out in a great match. I was like, oh, he's good. All right, cool. But I think he should just be a loose cannon, sadistic heel who just doesn't stop. Like, I would like to see him face some baby faces, and he's just continuing to attack them after the bell. And that's kind of how he turns heel. And that could be a good way to kind of show him with this unhinged and this, you know, this extra gear that he's got, and you just show the fire that way. Or I could get him over as a babyface, but I think what you got to do is you have to differentiate him somehow. He's just another great hand. That's all he is right now. But you start having him just beating people after the bell, losing by DQ because he won't stop. Now we're on to something, because I think him as a heel, I think you can get a lot out of him right now. And Braun should be a babyface. People want to cheer that man. He ain't getting booed. He didn't get booed at the end of the show when he took out a babyface. So that man's not getting booed, but Dragunov could work really well as a heel right now.
I agree. I think that he'll be over sans eye contacts and vampirism, and he'll be good as a heel that will eventually get that cachet as a babyface. Braun Breaker, as you said, is not getting booed anytime soon. He is over on the main roster with immediacy. He's going to win the Intercontinental Championship against Sami Zayn at SummerSlam. He's going to be champion for a good while. I'm here for it. He's on the ascent here. And I just think you do a double turn at this point. Like, Braun Breaker is a badass. He's a guy that calls his shot, and he doesn't miss mostly. So I think that they need to lean into that. He can be like someone that doesn't lean into the cheers, but he's just over as a badass babyface the fans can get behind. And Dragunov, I think, will find his footing a bit better as a heel on Monday Night Raw. And I think that will help him get over more in time. And I think this match was a great way to do that, because this was his most over match on the main roster to date as well.
I think maybe the ones with Ricochets were real good too. I think those, he had a great reaction out of those two, but I agree with you. But I think that's more so due to Braun than it is with Dragunov.
Yeah. Yeah. But he got his moments too, which I appreciate as well.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As we get to some Judgment Day drama backstage, as Ripley is going to approach Judgment Day, Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, and talks about them saying, hey, we got to focus here. Stop playing video games. And then Dominic Mysterio wants to step up after getting beat by Jey Uso last week and says, you know what? I saw what y'all was doing and you trying to pass off your number to Jey and vice versa. And you doing the yeet. And like she said, ain't nothing going on. But what was going on with you and Liv behind my back for months? Answer that. He couldn't answer that question. And then we have Finn Balor making suggestions, saying that, you know what? Dominic needs to defend your honor, take care of this Jey Uso problem, and I need to take care of Gunther after what he said about us earlier tonight. So we got Finn Balor trying to buck up and be the de facto leader of Judgment Day outside of the presence of Damian Priest. So I can already see that the fix is going to be in with Finn being the new leader of Judgment Day after many things happen at SummerSlam and possibly beyond.
Yeah, and, you know, Finn Balor trying to, it was also when him and Dom were backstage, he told Dom to go one way, and there just happened to be Liv Morgan, just, and whatever was left of her shorts, because when I didn't know if it was wrestling gear, bikini, or shorts. Couldn't tell. Wasn't a lot there. But there she was. And Finn just happens to show up later. And she's like, oh, that's my cue to leave. They're on real good time together. And so those two, they on something.
Mm-hmm. The timing is impeccable. Coincidences don't exist. The fix is in. I have my analogy already on the timeline, which we'll get into as we get to the in-ring segment involving Rhea Ripley, Dirty Dominic Mysterio, and Liv Morgan in her hot pants. That was something to behold, because I was like, my goodness, the shorts are definitely shorting this evening in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah. And then, you know, she even made sure to show the camera when she was like, yeah, mommy, guys like Dom and his mustache, they like girls like me and my shorts. So that's what I got going on. It's, yeah. And speaking about that, mommy's whole thing is that she's dominant, and she knows she's dominant. She knows who she is, and she knows like that she's the baddest person in the room, male or female. She will go and headbutt you in your face, and then have every man and probably woman in there wanting her in every way possible. Like, she's that type of figure. And Liv Morgan is got her tripping over herself, because there was a little, like, I didn't buy that. But I thought the segment was good besides that. I thought Dominic came off pretty good. That's probably the last time he'll get babyface cheered. But I thought the whole segment came off real well.
It did. I also agree with you that Rhea was like selling hurt, talking about nobody goes for girls like you. I said, excuse me? Like, girls want Rhea too. Like, it's men, women, non-binary.
Yeah, Rhea is not everybody. The one to do that with. Like, Rhea gets love from literally any type of mammal that walks. Like,
not a mammal that walks.
No, seriously, like, you random dogs will just start getting on a leg. Like, I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter. Okay. Like, people want Rhea Ripley. Like, she's a bad mommy. And like, I found that just wild to think about, when her whole get up is this uber confident person who knows she's the baddest thing in any room she walks in.
Yes, and I've seen the crossover in various places that you'd be surprised about. Yeah, Rhea is universally beloved, and she's universally like, yeah, she's a catch. She is a dime. And for Liv to say nobody would want someone like you, Dom doesn't want someone like you, he goes someone like me, like, girl, okay, whatever you say. And I love Liv, but I thought that line was choices, because look at Rhea freaking Ripley. Hello, gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not because of her looks, it's because of her character. But character like Nikki Cross, you could do that with, because she's someone who's not built on confidence. She's built on someone else telling her, hey, you can do this, you know, you got this. And when she's not being crazy, that is, like, that's somebody you could do that with. Even a Maxine, as pretty as she is, she's someone you can do that with. she's someone you can kind of play with her emotions with. Rhea Ripley's whole thing is built on confidence and knowing who she is. It just doesn't work for me.
No, that kind of fell short. And she also had a great job selling the eyes. Like, that really hurt me. Like, her and I had great eyes in the last week or so, selling these comments to cut a little bit deeper than they should have, but great acting by them as well. As we get to Lyra Valkyria versus Sonya Deville, and we had a moment during this match when Lyra tried to go for a gut-wrench powerbomb, and Sonya was holding Lyra for a really long time. And Lyra was basically telling her, let go, let go. And then we have Michael Cole say, was it a Michinoku driver? Then Pat McAfee says a powerbomb. But in any event, it doesn't matter. We got interference from Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler as they took out Casey and JoJo, Kayden Carter, and Katana Chance, which allowed Sonya to hit the Vils advocate on Lyra for the win. And it's a weak finisher, I must say. She needs something a little bit better than that.
Yeah, Sonya Deville was definitely embodying her best Titanic impression. I'll never let go, Lyra. I'll never let go. Cheddar biscuits for Lyra. I think Lyra's bad too, by the way.
Thank you. I tried to tell you for a month.
I'm on the train. I know I mentioned it last week, but I'm on the train. Just a beautiful woman.
Yes.
And let me say this too. Not even that, just that, but I think Lyra is head and shoulders better than almost every woman on that Raw roster. And maybe that's just me. I think she's fantastic, and she should not have taken this loss. Casey and JoJo are both right there. Either one of them could have been in this match, probably Kayden Carter, but either one of them could have been in this match and taken that loss instead of Lyra. You've done a good job of booking Lyra. She hasn't been doing this 50-50 booking thing. Like, you've done a good job of establishing her as one of your upper baby faces. I don't like her taking that loss right here. She should be the one who's getting the singles victories. Casey and JoJo, one of them can take that loss.
I agree. I was very surprised that Lyra lost last night. I thought the distractions would have helped her win the match, but it didn't. But as you said, I think that this move to the main roster has been really good for Lyra, as I kind of predicted. She needed the bigger stage and a bigger spotlight, and she's letting her personality shine. I do think that there's a good vibe with Casey and JoJo, and they come out there and they kind of click. Like, the rave gimmick kind of works with Lyra in the middle, more so with Kayden and Katana doing it themselves. So for whatever reason, this hybrid is working, and Lyra's run so far has been really good. I disagree that she lost, really, to Sonya Deville. And I love Sonya too, but I know they're trying to build up this new trio of Sonya and Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, but Lyra, to me, is on the upswing, and she is one of the very best in that women's division, and she should be a bit more protected than she was via this loss last night, sans interference, of course.
Yeah, but I think that, but I agree, and I just, you know, we just talked about it, but I think that just goes to show the lack of depth that the women's division have. And I understand that they're not trying to keep a real deep roster, but, you know, I think this is, and I don't know why we're not doing this, and I've only really seen it done with the men. Like, I haven't seen it done with the women for some reason, but this is where a nice squash match would have came in, bringing some local talent and just have three girls come out, and, you know, you can have the Chitty Chitty Bang Bang group. You saw that little, you saw the three guns, three pistols they put out at the end. You can have them come out and, you know, destroy them. But I don't think you needed Lyra to take this loss right here.
You did not say Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
You had the three guns, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Never thought I would get that reference on this show today. Never had that on my bingo card for this episode of The Wrap, but here we are, and I approve. And I have to also say that when Damage Control comes back, and I think there'll be baby faces when they do, dare I say that we actually have trios in the women's division. We got the tag team champs. It's kind of cooking if they book it.
No.
I don't want Trios Championship, Scott. I don't want that.
I know you don't. But let me tell you something. That's the whole division. So if we put the trios, if we do the trios thing, there's no singles. Because that's the division right there.
It's better than what we've had.
You're not wrong about that.
Because for years, we've had makeshift lame-ass teams.
That's true. Not since Team Bad, Team Bella, and Team THC. Or yes. Whatever.
A PCB.
Or a CBD. Or whatever they...
The OG name, they said, oops, no, because that is a porn site. We're not the Submission Sorority. Who the hell came up with that for Paige, Becky, and Charlotte? But I'm going to let that go. I remember that.
Yeah, that sounds like something Paige used herself. That's a wild name to just throw out there anyway. Like, the Submission Sorority is a wild, like, that's the name of one of the tapes that Damian Priest has.
Okay, let's stop it right now. All right.
Might have been the one with Finn Balor's mask. I don't know. But I just know that that's one of the tapes.
Yes, it is. Okay, let's pivot very quickly here. Wow, as we get to another Wyatt 6 video, this time we're focusing on the witch, Abigail, and it's Nikki Cross, obviously, in this role. I was expecting a character profile. Did not get that this week. We got a screaming witch, and Daphne, who's watching from heaven, will be very proud of that scream because, good Lord, it was loud.
Yeah, this wasn't it for me as far as the tape goes. I thought they did a real good job with Rowan and Bo. This felt like an excerpt from The Conjuring or from The Ring.
Yes.
And I didn't really like it.
It was all right. I do need a character profile on everybody else besides Bo and Eric. We need that. We need that character profile here to make these characters click in the realism way of this angle, which we'll get to later as we now transition to CM Punk coming out to a huge ovation. He says, I got cleared Saturday night. I'm ready to go and I'm ready to whoop up on Drew McIntyre. He had his tape ready to go for a fight. Now, Scott, now we was watching Monday Night Raw last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last check, Drew McIntyre and Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce had beef, correct?
They did.
So why in the hell do we have this very casual, handshaky backstage segment saying, welcome back?
Well, that's your boy. I'm not a fan of Scrap Daddy. So this fits right in line with, you know, his old fake self. So this doesn't surprise me at all. So you tell me why your boy don't know what he want to do.
I was confused. He had all this smoke. Like, if you hit me one more time, I'm going to fire your ass. And then you disrespect me by not apologizing to the referee. So I guess Drew came by and said, I humbly apologize. And it was just copacetic. Yeah, okay. They shook hands and like they said, namaste. What?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what happened. The camera stopped and Drew's McIntyre, listen, that wasn't what you were supposed to say. So let me tell you something. If you ever say something like that to me again, I'm going to headbutt you in your nose. All right. I'm going to just let you know how that's going to go down. So next week, you're going to smile in my face and you're going to shake my hand. Like, nothing wrong. You got me? He was like, my bad, dude. My bad. That's what happened.
We need that lost footage. Please procure it. I beg of thee. So Drew McIntyre comes out and says, I would love to fight you right now. And you know he's serious and he takes down the ponytail and let the hair flow. But then he says, nope. We're not doing it here. This place needs a bigger venue, you know, than Green Bay, Wisconsin for this fight. So Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce comes out there and says, you know what, Drew McIntyre hasn't told you a couple of things. Number one, the suspension has been lifted. He's reinstated and you are cleared. So I guess we can do this thing at SummerSlam. But you know what? Not a referee in the world thinks they can handle you two. All you do is cause trouble and fight and brawl everywhere. But there is one man that is ready to take on the job, to take on the task and the responsibility of being a very special guest referee. And that person is a man that has beef with both Drew McIntyre and CM Punk. And that guy is Seth freaking Rollins. Comes out there in the most outlandish outfit, one of his most. And the funny part was, the outfit is so outlandish. He was spinning around, the sleeves flaring behind Drew McIntyre. It was so egregious. He comes out there, does his whole entrance in this shtick, and he lets both guys know that I am the special guest referee. Only I can officiate this match accordingly. And next week, we're going to get a segment entitled Referee Instructions.
Where do I start? So first of all, Seth Rollins looked like he should be one of Dalton Castle's peacocks. secondly, I don't know, man. Like, this is, can we also talk about the fact that Adam Pearce got sandmanned off of his segment because he didn't even get to say, this needs a special burn it down. He didn't even get the referee part. He got sandmanned. Okay, so they was sweeping him off the stage. The kids are probably like, what does that mean? Go check out the Apollo and not Cruise.
Yes. Yes.
Just go Google that and Google the Sandman and go get your brooms ready. But it was okay. The segment was fine. CM Punk was fine. Drew was fine. If they hated each other that much, I'd take the suspension. I'd just go and wail that dude in the head and take the suspension. I would go stand right in front and be like, yeah, you know, we good. And I smack him right in his face.
Now, you know, we cannot do that for several reasons. Number one, first of all, no physical contact with him, Punk, before. No physical contact between him, CM Punk, before SummerSlam. And number two, if he knocks him out, he doesn't get the match. So he has to be very careful here, okay? After the match, maybe you can, you know, headbutt him. But before then, try to get to the match. But I'm going to take bets right now that I can safely say that Seth Rollins will not be wearing a normal referee outfit for this match.
Yeah, it's probably going to be definitely Shawn Michaels inspired. I don't know if Orlando Jordan's got something in one of his closets, but that'll also be one of the inspirations as well.
Yes, I expect hot pants and tassels, most likely, for sure. Bedazzled, something like, sparkly.
He's like, Becky, what would you wear?
What would you wear to be a special guest referee? How would you set the tone for this match to have some semblance of gaudiness to it?
He's going to be like, if you was a skank, how would you dress?
What?
He dresses ridiculous. Okay. He dresses real skimpy.
Skank is a strong word.
Is it? Is it?
Yes.
That little peacock outfit he had on today was, that wasn't classy.
That was something.
Okay. That was not classy.
Listen, the back was out. The ruffles were ruffling. A lot was going on.
You don't think that was skanky?
Listen, he was twirling for his life. And I appreciate that. The twirl behind Drew McIntyre, that shit was funny. Even before I saw the outfit, that was hilarious. Because I was like, what the hell does he have on? But so I know like what he's going to be wearing for SummerSlam is going to be even special. Even more special than what we saw last night, which was ridiculous. But I ain't gonna let you off.
Cheeks out.
He might. You never know. But I'm not gonna let you off the hook because you mentioned Sandman Sims from the legendary Showtime at the Apollo. For those of you that don't know, Showtime at the Apollo was a syndicated show that aired like at 1 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast every Saturday night. Getting my life as a child, we had amateur night, we had singing, we had comedy, we had dancing, we had comedians, we had like A-list singers on the show performing. It was an experience to be watching Showtime at the Apollo. Theme song is legendary, it's catchy as hell. And if I'm not mistaken, I think throwback episodes of the Apollo all on Pluto TV.
Let me say some Pluto is a little gem. I'm gonna just say that Pluto got some nice Pluto is that deal. I know I wish 10 years ago when I was living by myself at 21, I wish there had been a Pluto for free instead of spending $50 on these apps. y'all got these free. Y'all got Pluto. Y'all got Tubi. Y'all got all these free apps where you can get all this free stuff. You ain't had none of this stuff. You had to pay the 80 for the internet, and then you had to pay the 80 for whatever apps you got. Man, y'all got it real nice these days.
For real, like free. Like you got Free View, you got Pluto TV, Tubi.
Come on, man.
Like I was like doing like a basic voice search like a couple of days ago. I'm like, Tubi got the classics now? Like yeah, the Hollywood classics? Okay, well let me lock in with Tubi. Tubi is on the come up, okay? For sure. A lot of hidden gems on there. And Pluto too.
And if you got a Roku, they got a channel.
Yes. They have like get the TV, get a Roku TV, apps for days. There's like gems. Like there's free stuff. If you don't want to pay for cable, get you some internet service. The free stuff on the free tier is crazy. It's really good stuff. It's not on the cheap. It's really good content, shows that you have missed and love over the years. And it is free with ads. And ads are not that bad.
There's even some movies that make Tyler Perry movies look like Oscar winners. So there's a lot of content out there, whatever you're looking for.
Listen, the Tubi made-for-TV movies would make Tyler Perry look like an Oscar winner. Let's be fair.
When I saw that woman hold that family at gunpoint and shoot that little girl's parents, and the little girl said, "I'm just a little kid," and she shot that little kid and was like, "Oh, well." And that's how the movie ended. I was like, yeah, this something different. This something different on this channel.
Yes, it is. Very disturbing, by the way. What a hell of a transition as we get to.
You're right. I'm my so God. Sorry.
You went so morbid. Jesus. So let's transition to something more morbid and depressing. The Final Testament, as my voice rose an octave, the Final Testament, Karrion Kross and AOP with Scarlett and Paula Ellering defeats Xavier Woods, Otis, and Akira Tozawa with Maxine Dupree at ringside, and she's healed up from her ankle injury. And I have to say that the highlight of this match was Otis getting the hot tag in his hometown of Green Bay, Wisconsin, right up the road, and he was over. The fans loved him, hit his greatest caterpillar ever. And he still didn't get the win as Karrion Kross pinned Xavier Woods to continue a feud I do not care about. But go off.
Nah, don't go off. We can cut this, but it was fine. Everything was fine. The Otis stuff was great. Akira Tozawa, this dude was in the Cruiserweight Classic looking like one of the best people in the world, and now he's just a headband out there, scared of going. He out there screaming, "No, don't throw Otis into the goalposts," instead of running in and trying to help his friend. Don't like what they're doing with that. But the match was fine. Xavier Woods just completely abandoned Otis and Tozawa after the match when he heard the Creed brothers come out. He was like, "Yeah, you guys can handle this. I'm out of here." I guess that's the start of a heel turn. First step, leave your friends after they had your back. Nothing really to talk about. Creed Brothers, you know, except for the segment that came next, but nothing really right at home about here.
Yeah, it was just there. It existed. And Woods got the loss. Otis was over. And Akira Tozawa is one of the more talented people on the planet Earth. And the gimmick sucks. He's so great as a wrestler. When you let that guy wrestle, he will get over. The fans would love him, but they won't let him be great. And to me, it's like, it's a shame because this guy is so good and he's in great shape and he has charisma. He can go out there and kill it, but they won't let him. It's disappointing.
Yeah, but the Otis stuff is good. It's clearly working. The next segment with him and Chad Gable, the face off, and Otis even cutting the little promo he did. I thought all that was great.
I thought so as well. We got the Creed brothers with Chad Gable suited and booted. Dressing from Men's Warehouse. So that's the new go here, the Men's Warehouse look for the Afro Academy, the reloaded Afro Academy, as Chad Gable offers Otis, Maxine, and Akira a spot back home to offer more protection against the white sixes. He says they're coming after you too. And Otis says, no, I don't accept this offer because all you care about is yourself. And in fact, you abandoned those two last week when the white six came for you in the ring. And that leads to an attack by the Creed brothers by way of Chad Gable leading the charge. And we get the white six coming out to spook the Creeds and Chad Gable. And we have Uncle Howdy appear from behind, and he hits, and it gave me chills. The fans popped for this so loudly. He hit Sister Abigail on Chad Gable, and the cell jaw by Chad was just spectacular. And I also want to say, Bo Dallas has been putting in that gym work, like how to looking kind of swole. So all in all, a good segment.
Definitely the tannest member ever of the Wyatt family, Wyatt Six. For sure the tannest member. Because those arms were nice and orange.
They was orange and they was defined.
Nah, hey, even I like the look. I like the look. The mask, yes. The sleeveless. I like
yeah,
the look.
I liked I it. I liked it, cool. It too. Yeah.
I thought it was cool. Couple things. So the Wyatt Six, their first appearance debut, they almost murder people in the backstage area. Now they're just allowed to walk around in the back, like they just letting people in masks walk around with the hammer and stuff. They just letting Roman walk around with the hammer. Hey, bro, you ain't gonna be able to walk around with that hammer back here no more. You know that, right? The buzzer dude, he definitely wouldn't be allowed back here. You know what I'm saying? Like, what we doing? I don't know about that part, but I thought this was great. The lights flickering as he hit it, as he hit the Sister Abigail was really well done. So that was cool. You know, the six man, we'll see how their matches go. We'll see if it's going to be like Bo Dallas versus Chad, and then it becomes Uncle Howdy versus Chad. We'll see how they do with that. But as far as a presentation, you can say what you want about it. The crowd is reacting to it. They're getting excited when they feel the power go down. So everything worked well in this segment.
Yeah, it's definitely winning people over in the building, which is always the most important thing. And the presentation is cool. You make very valid points. After that massacre on night one, they have apparently got clearance to drop off VHS tapes. They got the fog machine going. They got full clearance to go backstage. I guess Adam Pearce says, listen, Bo, don't kill anyone else, but you guys can come in with your mallets and your hammers and you can do whatever and we'll produce it and make it look good. And that is the arrangement they came to. Is it stupid? Absolutely. It requires you to turn off your brain for a little bit and just not think that much about it. But it is things to think about because in a lot of ways, this is crazy, but the fans love it. And who am I to knock something that the people love? And thus far, presentation aside, in terms of the night one massacre that they should be in prison for, this is pretty damn cool.
All I know is that if I'm a cameraman, I'm definitely renegotiating my contract as well, and I'm throwing in some hazard pay. I saw what happened a couple weeks ago, and I know y'all did too, so I'm gonna get that bread.
I agree. I love how you say, let's renegotiate the contracts.
Hey, listen. Everybody trying to get paid. I'm trying to get paid too. Everybody renegotiating TV deals, health insurance. I'm trying to renegotiate it all. Fill my 401k up right now. So just in case something happens, I can go ahead and retire.
You know, there's like interchangeable nicknames for you all the time. So now I have a new one, Negotiator Scott.
Hey, listen, I ain't mad at that one, and that's probably gonna be my new one for a while, because there's a lot of negotiations going on and I feel like I need to be a part of them because I'm trying to get a piece of this bread.
Yes, get a piece of bread, a piece of the pie. That's all you can do, and I'm here for that. I advocate for you to negotiate some paper for sure. As we get to Bronson Reed versus Pete Dunne, that never happened. As Sheamus says, I got pieces on all of y'all. So he goes after Reed and Pete Dunne for attacking him the last couple of weeks on Monday Night Raw. And I'm here for Sheamus and Pete Dunne whenever it happens. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be scrappy. It's going to be messy. And to hell with Def Rebel for ruining one of the greatest theme songs that Sheamus had. It is truly a shameful thing Lobster Head. How dare you change that song? How dare you?
This is the second gym that he's ruined. Let's not forget what he did to AJ Styles also. And honestly, Bron Breakker too.
Yes.
I guess that's three. Not much to write home about. You kind of laid everything out. Bronson Reed is literally just a guy out here. Send him back to NXT where he can be useful and he can be a part of this TNA NXT exchange, because I would love to see that man in TNA going over there and running roughshod. But him versus Josh, him versus Moose, him versus Eddie, like there's just a ton of stuff over there he could be doing. But I don't like what they're doing with that, but this was fine.
Yeah, the Bronson Reed disrespect on the main roster hurts a lot because he's so good and the booking for him sucks. There's no way around it. It's like you brought him back to do what exactly? Lose constantly. There's no forward momentum. There's no sustainable push. It's very disappointing. He's a great big guy that can do amazing things, but he keeps eating L's and gets beat down and he never really gets over. It's disappointing. I think he would benefit greatly from going to TNA for a little while to work with people and get over. And I don't know when.
I don't know when either, but it might not be anytime soon. But I mean, it's fine with the guy. At least he's on TV. He's just the guy I wish they were doing more with.
Agreed. As we get to Rhea Ripley and Dominic Mysterio going in the ring to take care of this Liv Morgan situation. As we talked about earlier, we alluded to Liv Morgan saying that guys like Dominic go for women like me and not women like you, Rhea, which was something we did not believe that we talked about that. So Liv wants to hear three words from Dirty Dominic Mysterio that would make her heart sing, because she has feelings for Dominic, allegedly. And Dominic has to get through the booze to say what he needs to say. And he proceeds to say, "You want those three words, Liv? I got them. It's I hate you. I hate you, Liv." And he says, "I can't stand you. I don't like anything about you. You've ruined my life. I want you out of my life." And then he proceeded to drop like Spanish, like bars, the most Spanish Dominic has ever spoke in WWE. So you knew he was mad. He was fired up. Rhea was turned on. She licked his neck. I'm like, she licked his face when it was all said and done. So he's back in the good place. He's off the couch out of the doghouse for now, back in mommy's good graces. But all I could think to myself was, Dominic was overcompensating, wasn't he? He was really forceful in his denial for his feelings for Liv, and Liv was devastated. She was crying. She was just really sad about these turn of events. So I have a feeling that SummerSlam is going to be an homage to WrestleMania 20. And that Dominic really will fall for Liv Morgan. He will. And he'll give in the temptation. And he'll fall for it. And he says, "I'm here. You're my new mommy, Liv." And he'll go in for the kiss. And then Liv will curve him. And then Finn Balor will be revealed as her real guy. And she'll retain her championship. And then Liv and Finn will make out like it's Trish and Christian all over again to break Dom's heart while fucking over Rhea at the exact same time. Heartbreak all around for the Judgment Day.
Yeah, it is going to be a lot going on with that. I don't even know if Damian Priest will be a part of it or not, but there will be a lot of shenanigans. The segment was good as far as establishing roles and where everybody's aligned going into the show. So I like where we're headed as far as this feud. They've done a good job building it up. Now they got to just make sure the match delivers.
Yes, and I think it will, because Liv and Rhea have great chemistry. I know that Liv is coming back from an injury. I know that Rhea is coming back from an injury, but I think that they'll deliver a very good match. I know it's going to be some bullshit at the end, but hopefully they have a great match before the bullshit convenes towards the finish. As we get to Zelina Vega and Zoe Stark, this was an interesting matchup as Stark works over Vega's arm, which is taped up during this match, has a cast on it, but she's clear to compete for reasons I don't get. But thanks to an assist from the babyfaces, Lyra and Casey and JoJo, they're able to even the odds against the heels, and that allows Zelina Vega to understand, oh crap, my cast actually can hurt people. I can knock them out and hit a co-red on Zoe Stark for the win. And yeah, that happened.
Not a lot here. I would have flipped this and Lyra and had Lyra win and Zelina take the loss, especially with the arm as the out.
Yes, I agree. It was definitely choice booking there, but hey, the babyfaces had to even the score after getting outshined earlier by the heels. Then we get to our main event, which is non-title. It is the Intercontinental Champion, Sami Zayn, reuniting with Zeus, Jey Uso versus Finn Balor and JD McDonagh. I love the entrance of Jey and Sami coming down to the ring together through the crowd. I love that. The energy was everything. Love their chemistry. This was a really good tag team match. Sami and Jey just blend together as a tag team. Love the heat they got, making the hot tags to each other to even the score against Judgment Day. Really fluid action throughout. Like, they fed off each other's energy with Sami and Jey respectively. Some very cool near falls during this match as well. And it came down to some interference courtesy of Carlito and Dirty Dominic Mysterio on the outside. But Sami Zayn was able to neutralize them by a dive on the outside after landing the 1D on McDonagh. But Balor breaks up the cover, and that allows Balor to take advantage of the situation. Goes after Jey, hits a coup de grace, and McDonagh lands a frog and lands a moonsault on Jey. But Sami breaks up the pin attempt from there, and that leads to the finish of Sami Zayn landing a haluva kick on JD McDonagh, and Zayn wipes out the rest of Judgment Day on the outside, and Jey gets to win for his team with a superkick frog splash combination, and then Bron Breakker comes out to spear Sami Zayn to say, "I got next," heading into their match for the Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam. Overall, strong main event, strong closing with Bron Breakker being the one standing tall.
Yeah, and I appreciate Bron getting to do that as well. Tag match was fine. Like the 1D, throwing up the ones. Nice little foreshadowing, because they will be doing that again in November. Yeah, this was fine. I'm not a big fan of the tag champs losing. Never have been. I know Jey Uso is a tag team specialist, so you can kind of have that out as far as him doing that. But this does feel like we're spinning the wheels. We're just, instead of Sami Zayn, we had Cody Rhodes last year. So this is versus the Judgment Day for the tag titles. We're kind of in the same boat. But hopefully this is just a temporary thing.
Agreed. We shall see how it goes. As this was a pretty solid episode of Monday Night Raw, I enjoyed it. The crowd was hot most of the night, which I really appreciate. Keeps me alert and going heading into the recording of this episode, which is always a good thing. So, fun episode of Raw to kick off a brand new week in WWE. But before we go, it's going to be kind of hard to narrow down the best match we saw this week. But Scott, we're going to try nonetheless. So across all the shows, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, maybe even WWE Speed and Level Up from NXT, what was the best match you saw from the last week?
I think for me in the last week, it's probably Tony Khan and WB negotiations.
oh my God.
I think that's been a really, really grueling match that's been going on last week. You know, some information came out. I saw some NBA negotiations going real well. But I'm guessing the match is really, really a nail biter between Tony Khan and WB. But as far as WWE goes, I'm gonna go with Joe Hendry and Trick Williams versus Ethan.
Okay.
And Sean. See,
okay. All right. So you went from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm still with that. I'm still with Joe Hendry all day.
Okay. Look at you being a homer. Okay.
Still my match of the week is Joe Hendry all day.
Oh my God. So like for the next month, even if we had a fantastic SummerSlam card, Joe Hendry, automatic.
Well, SummerSlam's got a shot. But until then, Joe Hendry showing up on my screen and giving choke slams and making my kids go to bed happy, that'll be my match of the week for a while.
Okay. I'm going to cheat. And I rarely do this on this show. I have to pick four matches that stood out to me. First off, Obafemi versus Duke Hudson for the NXT North American Championship. Number two, Carmelo Hayes versus Andrade on SmackDown. Number three, Bron Breakker versus Ilya Dragunov, number one contenders match for the IC Championship at SummerSlam. And the main event of Jey Uso and Sami Zayn versus JD McDonagh and Finn Balor, the World Tag Team Champs. So four really strong matches this week in WWE from my vantage point. And I love Joe Hendry, but I'm not biased.
I just saw his head turn on a commercial on the Pluto app on TNA. I said his name, so that's what happened. But I am. I'm rocking with him. I believe. And I'm a believer. I'm a Hendrier. And I'm hungry for Hendry.
My goodness. You a Hendrier. I did not know that was a thing until now. Wow, look at you being a fan club homer. Look at that.
New t-shirt.
Okay. I need that in my life as well. But with that, it is now a wrap for this week's wrap right here on the Fike Media Network. Thank you so much for joining in as I disappeared for a few minutes and Scott did a great job handling things on my behalf. And you'll hear that gap upon replay of me just disappearing. Thanks to Rey Mysterio, because sometimes even I can get booyakaed. But I want to thank Scott for joining me as always to recap the week so far in WWE.
Thank you, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE with you. SummerSlam shaping up nicely. Look forward to next week. We'll see what this week has in store, and we'll see if my boy shows up on NXT this week, Joe Hendry, so I can have a new match of the week as long as it has Joe Hendry in it.
Of course, and he did have a losing effort in that TNA Championship match at Slammiversary. Damn that Josh Alexander. Damn him. But that feud will heat up on that show and hopefully might cross over to NXT as well. We'll see how that goes as we get ready for some big shows coming up for WWE, SummerSlam, and the Great American Bash for NXT. So until next Tuesday, that is the week so far in WWE. Enjoy the rest of the show setting into SummerSlam next weekend for myself and for the negotiator, Salty Scott Young. That's a wrap for all things WWE. Take care and bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.